Hey, it's Sean.
Hey, it's Bree.
And this is I Can Explain,
the podcast where we answer the questions that you were too afraid to ask.
And this week's topic is, we didn't really decide on a title. I think it's kinks, but I feel like we already have a just kinks. It's more like smash or pass kinks edition.
Exactly. We are going to be, well, I am going to be delivering kinks.
Finger up or finger down?
That made it sound like I was going to be actually like administrating the kinks.
You are.
Administering.
That could be a good episode.
Oh, yeah.
You like fully
piss on your face.
And I then say, did I like that? Like it's more of an exit interview for every kink.
Well, we've already done that for Patreon.
But each one would have to be like an hour.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So if you want to become a patron, you can click the link in our bio at I Can Explain Podcast. And before we get started, make sure to follow, subscribe wherever you listen, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever it may be. You can follow or subscribe and rate us 5 stars. Thank you very much. So yeah, we will be talking about kinks and kind of just saying, I want to say from the jump, the rules of this game to me.
Okay.
Is... we are not answering whether or not we fantasize or like actively want these things.
Okay.
We are answering if someone we deeply cared about asked us to do these things, if we would.
I feel like, sure, but does that not have some relevance to if we're also... like, because what if you say one, like, what if it's like piss?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, not only would I like to get, I would allow the piss, but what if I also want the piss?
You can then disclose that if you'd like.
Okay, thank you. I thought I had to just take the piss.
No, I'm just enjoyably saying, I want you to be willing to share as much as you'd like to share.
Okay.
But I'd also like you to be willing to say smash without the weight of people assuming that means that you actively are seeking this in a partnership.
Right.
Because I think that there are, as consenting adults, there are potentially things that both of us would do despite never having dreamed them up in our mind that we would do just to either give it a try or maybe because the person you're with really is into it and you're like, well, I'm not into it. So like, I'll give it a go.
At the end of the day, I mean, we'll see what the line is, but at the end of the day, I would consider myself in the bedroom a team player.
Right.
So.
Okay. So that's something to look forward to with Sean.
Yeah.
Seems like he's very willing to share today. Vulnerable.
I'll try most things once.
And that's the episode, folks. So yeah, we're going to be talking about kinks today. Before we get into that, last week we did Q&A episode. I have a funny story that came up in my brain because of one of the questions that we didn't get to.
Okay.
Which was, how is my stand-up stuff going?
Ah.
And...
which, by the way, being friends with you is, like, truly top 10 worst experiences ever.
Yeah.
Brie does not... like, would I like to go to a Brianne Williamson stand-up show? Yes. Am I on Instagram on, like, a random Tuesday? And Brie's like, oh, finished my set. Like, it is, and I get that you, like, you'll give the classic Brie line of, like, I just don't tell people things because, like, I don't want to tell people things and then, like, they get in my head and I don't want to, like, you do that whole thing, but it is insufferable.
Yeah.
Because you know if I did that, you'd be like, what the fuck?
I'd be like, what the actual fuck? Why didn't, like, you tell me?
Could you imagine going on Instagram and you see Sean.Lusk has a story, not a close friend story, a story. And it's me being like, just did my gallery opening. And it's like me with like 60 paintings. That's what it's like being friends with you.
Okay, I've never had someone put it that way. And when you do, I do need to talk to my therapist about this. Because that,
like, imagine me crazy. Being like, just opened a Nissan dealership. And you'd be like, wait, I didn't even know that he was doing dealerships.
Yeah, I didn't know that you were trying to sell cars.
Exactly.
Okay, that's fair. You know what? I'm glad you brought that perspective to the table. I do think that is a fair thought. My thought...
here
I
comes
think,
the battle.
Okay, I think there's a combination of things here.
Okay, mental illness.
At the very top, of course, is mental illness.
Yes.
Second, I do think that depending on the type of job or career or passion that you have.
Yeah.
There are certain careers that society calls for applause to.
Yes.
And there are certain ones that people are doing amazing work, but they never get their like moment, if you will.
Right. So doctors.
Very behind the scenes. Yes. No, but what I mean by that is I think that you especially are such a supportive friend, genuinely, right. that in a way I feel like if I told people like you about things I would was doing, you would feel obligated as a supportive friend to come and see said things be done.
Yes.
But I know that like because I am so mentally ill, I'm doing so many of those types of things that would
take a lot of my schedule.
You would need to get I was going to say part-time job. You need to quit.
Right.
So I think that like I have so many friends that work so hard and are good at what they do, you included, that I'm like, there's not opportunities for me to come and support you. And sometimes I feel like if I were to invite friends or put it out there more often, then I'm like, this is too much. I'm asking people to do too much for me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I got to pick and choose my like bigger moments to be like, hey, can you guys all come support me?
Maybe you can start like a Google Doc that you put right. all of the things that you're doing that are like things that could be attended for right. like the year.
Yeah.
And I can just look through and be like, genuinely, I don't want to be there for yeah. this.
Or you can
I
would pick like, a few.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can give like, hey, you can come to 5 or something.
Yeah.
Or like max 5. And then your friends like just like put little dots besides the like.
Right.
Yeah.
I see that.
Yeah.
The other component of this is that. Okay. So with stand-up, I would say part of my like insecurities mm-hmm. around it is that
the outfits you wear
is the way I look on stage. No, is that like most stand-up comedians start at like open mics.
Yes.
With like 3 people at a coffee shop that just came for a fucking latte and all of a sudden they have to listen to someone bark on a mic. And
not,
it's like, it's a tough fucking crowd. It's
not
a tough
opening climb. For like Ash Gavs at a sold out show. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then like
Nepo baby.
Literally. That was like literally my opening line of the Ash Gavs show. It's like, hi, I'm the Nepo baby of lesbian comedy. Then I went on and did my like tour of opening my film in different cities and would do a stand-up set before it showed.
Yeah.
So again, I'm doing it for audiences that
was
know
smart
me.
Too, though, because you trapped them.
I trapped them. I'm like, you're here for the film. And I'm like, I'm also going to practice my stand-up on
you. Yeah, you should have done like a tap number or something, too.
Yeah, anything I've ever wanted to try, I should have done it there and then.
The doors are locked.
They've already bought the tickets. It's happening. So, you know, again, I have these audiences of people that I know are predominantly queer. I'm assuming, but let's be real, that I know to at least a certain extent probably already like my comedic style. They're either podcast listeners or whatever it is. They already know me to a certain extent. So just naturally, it's a familiar face. So they're going to like me more than a stranger at a coffee shop at an open mic.
True.
So there was, because now I've gotten over this. There was a big part of me that was like one of my goals in 2024 was getting out and kind of just hitting the pavement and doing shows that I was not posting I was going to be at,
right.
which is all the shows I've done so far in 2024.
True.
Which is very counterintuitive for me because I also want to support these small local shows by like sharing it with my audience, but I've explained to a lot of these showrunners like, hey, like I will do that in a few months, but right now like my goal is literally to walk onto stage and no one know who I am,
yeah,
and have no idea what kind of crowd it is, whether they're straight, gay, whatever, and just see how my jokes land without any of that stuff before, right?
Fair.
And so it's like cold reads in a way, because I think that's when you actually find out what's good and what's not. And I think because my friends are so supportive, I know that if I told them about certain shows, they would go to said shows.
Mm.
And then
I would not laugh, though.
You're like, I'm a good friend, but I'm not that good of a friend.
No, like if it's funny, it's funny. If it's not, it's not.
Okay.
I'll sit there in the silence of the audience with them. I'll even maybe cough.
Oh, boo. You're my heckler.
I don't know if I'd get to boo, but in a silence, I could do like a...
Okay, that's almost worse.
Exactly.
I prefer a boo. At least there's something you can play off of that. Oh my God. But anyways, so I've been doing that. That has been my goal and I've been doing it. I've been going to these local shows without showing that I'm there. Sometimes if they tag me and stuff afterwards, I will share it.
Yep.
Just to give them the support for their future shows and whatever else. But a lot of them don't even tag or post anything afterwards. So I just do it. I come home. I'm like,
we're about to find out why.
I'm a ghost. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. So everyone has told me, anyone who's a stand-up comic.
Yes.
Has told me, you will bomb at some point.
Yeah.
They're like, it doesn't matter who you are, how long you've been doing it. Like, you're going to bomb at some point. Sometimes the stars just do not align.
Yeah.
And of course, number one thing, in my opinion, if you're bombing, it's not the audience's fault. So from the top, I do want to mention that I will be telling this story, but I am prepared to blame myself and my own jokes. I'm okay. Just giving the background for the interest of the story.
Okay.
But I think as a rule of thumb, if you're a comedian, it's your job to make the audience laugh. If they don't laugh, that's on you, bro. It doesn't matter. You can explain it away a million times.
1,000%.
You didn't make them laugh. Too bad, so sad. So I have been doing all these shows and both my shows that I advertised I was going to be at, and then all these shows that I'm doing more like kind of underground stuff, have all been going really, really well.
Okay.
Like weirdly well.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is great. And even friends that I have that are local and do stand-up comedy are like, wow, I can't believe you haven't been doing this for very long. Like, I feel like you're doing great. Like, you have such great confidence. You're getting laughs, the whole thing. But this impending doom of bombing has been over me that, okay, I'm like, I know it's going to happen because everyone's telling me it's going to happen. But I almost started, call it ego. I almost started to think maybe it won't.
It's ego.
Yeah, it is. I'm like, because I'm, if I just keep doing what I'm doing, like, why would I all of a sudden like bomb?
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing, like, you know, certain audiences are going to love your shit more than others. Sometimes you're on, sometimes you stumble over your words. It doesn't land as great, whatever it is. But I'm like, how am I going to ever go on there and just no laughs?
Like, how am I going to get on there and not serve?
It started to feel
that way. I've been serving so hard.
Exactly.
How could I ever not?
How could I ever not absolutely just deliver in every way? Well, it happened. This, Sean, when I say I bombed.
Yeah.
I didn't get a single laugh. Like,
was it new this material?
Okay.
Was it
a combination of, because part of the reason I've been doing all these shows,
yeah,
is to try out new jokes too, see what lands. And I don't have the privilege of being someone who's been in it for a long time where I'm getting 10, 20, 15, whatever minute sets.
Yeah.
So a lot of times when you're booked as one of the headliners and there's like 3 to 5 people on the show, your sets are going to be, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes. But I've been doing drop-in shows where you get a tight 5.
Okay.
So it's like you have 5 minutes, you get on, you get off. So obviously you can only try so many jokes, yes, in that time. So I've been kind of like rotating through, and what I'll do is I'll use like one or two that I know work or have landed before. And then I'll put in a couple that
you think work. Sorry. I will say.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. Think work.
Let's bring you back down.
And here was my mistake. Here was my big mistake. My big mistake was that I did the number one no-no, the thing that I know I shouldn't do. And I put the new stuff first.
Mm.
Whereas, like, if you have a safety joke in there, it should be first.
Yeah.
Because, like, the biggest thing, anyone who's ever gone to a comedy show and you've seen multiple comics, as an audience, if you see someone walk out and they deliver the first joke, you're immediately put at ease.
For sure.
You're like, okay,
I trust my laughter with this person.
And I also just trust that I'm not going to get, like, secondhand embarrassment and cringe the whole time. Your body literally seizes up when you're nervous someone's going to do bad, yeah, right? So I should have known better, and I do know better, but I think, again, the ego, I got a little cocky, and the way that I put these jokes together, it strung better with a through line if I went with the new stuff first.
Okay.
It, like, had a very clear through line that's the way it should be delivered, but it still started with jokes that I had never said before.
Okay.
So I go on there. First of all, it's a drop-in show. It's a what they call a pro drop-in show.
Okay.
So you have to be like invited to do it. So it's not just like a open mic. I know, Jesus.
Pro?
Fuck. Jesus. So it's not an open mic where like anyone can go. So it's people that have been like...
Apparently it is.
Working. Yeah. Come to find out. They're getting tighter with their invites after I went up there. So I guess usually like 10 people show up like, and everyone's at just as 5 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. For whatever reason this night, like 28 people showed up. Okay.
Okay.
I already wasn't having the best day. Like I was kind of off that day. But again, if I've had this thing in my mind that if I've told someone I'm going to be at a show, I'm committing to it. Like yeah. I want to have a good reputation on the scene that I'm going to show up. I'm going to follow through the whole thing. So I get there. I obviously have the lowest amount of seniority. So when they start writing people's names and orders and people are saying, oh, I've got another show after this. Can I go earlier? And blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm not even piping up. I'm like, I'm going to land where I land, right? So this show has, like, every great comic in the city that I've seen at a lot of other shows before, okay. Which is exciting for me.
Totally.
But this show apparently usually always sells out, just to paint the background.
Okay.
Usually always sells out and usually has about 10 comics. It's usually starting at around 7 or 8 o'clock, okay? What had happened was there was another show that booked before this show, the same venue. So this show got pushed later on and it was on a weeknight and they had really bad ticket sales that week. So imagine all of a sudden the show's like way later than usual. It was supposed to start at 9. It didn't start till like 10.
Okay.
The ticket sales are really low.
Like what's low?
Like the place can hold like 100 and I'm guessing they sold like 15 tickets. Low.
Low, low.
And instead of like 10 comics, there's like 26 comics.
Right.
I get put on somewhere around the middle, but then people kept kind of coming and joining or asking if they could go earlier because we were running late. So I think I ended up at about like number 17.
Okay.
Okay. Adding to this is that the show beforehand was a dog-friendly comedy show. Great idea. And I actually posted one on my Instagram. If anyone is curious about this in the Vancouver area, let me know and I'll send you the link for the next one. It's people can bring their dogs to the show. And at the end of the show, I guess because they knew that the ticket sales weren't there for the next show.
The dogs stayed.
The person on the mic was like, hey, you've all bought your tickets for this. If you want to just stay to the next one, I guess the venue is thinking in their mind, like, we'll sell at the bar or whatever. Dog treats at the bar. Feel free to stay.
Yeah.
So I want to say that there's maybe like 25 people in the audience.
Okay.
About half of which are dogs. About half of which are people that have been at the previous show.
Okay.
Okay. So if you've already seen a 2-hour professional comedy show
with dogs,
with your dogs in tow,
do the comics have dogs?
I didn't actually witness it. I don't think so. I think it's just the audience can bring dogs, and I'm sure there's dog related jokes. Anyways,
even as a dog person, I don't like that.
Okay. Well, anyways, these dog people,
yes,
these that also like comedy and their dogs like to laugh as well, are at this comedy
big
show.
Big laughers.
And some of them choose to extend their evening. But you have to imagine, again, this is me. I'll go back and say I bombed. It's my fault. But I'm just painting the picture here. Half of the audience has already seen a 2-hour comedy show. It's going to take a lot to get them fucking laughing. Like they've been laughing. They've been,
quarter of them are dogs.
It's late. It's the whole thing. Then the people who have bought for the next show, that show's running late, so it's already kind of a rough start.
Then you show up, half the people are dogs.
They're fucking, and they're like, what the fuck? I didn't sign up for a dog friendly show. There's fucking dogs everywhere. Yeah. Then, just in general, when there's a half empty room or like quarter full room even, it's gonna feel like really empty.
Yeah.
Right. And then as the show kept going up, the show that I was on, I'm number like 17, people keep clearing out because it's getting later and they've seen like fucking a million comics at this point. So I have like 16.
You know, for somebody who's not blaming the audience. For me.
No, but
when we're on number 17 of audience issues.
I just would like to paint the picture. Mostly because all of these things pointed towards me saying, I need to make up an excuse and get the fuck out of here. Because I was so scared.
Okay.
Because every part of me was like, I knew it was going to be bad.
Yeah.
There was a lot of comics that were really amazing that I've seen a million times going before me that were bombing. The room was fucking dry. And I was like, if they fucking can't do it, and I've seen them and they always kill it.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be horrific. Like, I was like, I do not know what to do. But again, I was like, Brie, you can't be that person that when a show doesn't feel like it's going well enough for you, because you're scared, you peel out.
Yeah.
Like, that, you just can't do it. Like, you've signed up. Everyone else is powering through and doing the best.
When the goings get tough, the tough get going.
Exactly. So I go out there with my fucking bad jokes. I now know that they're bad jokes.
Can you tell them to me after?
Yeah, I'll tell them to you.
Okay.
You're going to fucking die.
I won't laugh, that's for sure.
Oh my God, Sean. It's so bad. Like, it's like, I have like PTSD.
I do think stand up and just professions or hobbies or whatever it is to somebody that are like stand up, singing, stand up, like dance, any of those things. I will say I'm hats off to people that do them because I'm not wearing a hat right now. but if I was, I would be.
You'd tip it.
Because I would cry.
Yeah.
I literally would cry. I would stand there and cry, or I'd kill myself on the spot. I'd be like, you want to talk about bad vibes in the room? Suck on this.
That might have brought some energy back.
True.
Taking one for the team. No. So that's the thing. I'm trying to give myself, while I'm back there, a little bit of a pep talk. Like, you know what, Brie? Even just going out there, even if it goes bad,
I'm going to see some dogs.
I'm proud of you. Like, I'm trying to give myself an internal monologue of, like, it's good. Nothing can prepare you for how excruciating it feels.
Yeah.
To stand up and tell jokes and you can hear a fucking pin drop. Like, it wasn't like, or I wasn't getting big laughs. Silence.
The worst thing is, so the only thing that I've had comparable to this, I mean, I haven't had anything comparable to this. I've done like wedding speeches.
Yeah.
But when you're around like a group of new people and you make a joke and it doesn't like necessarily land, but you're in a social situation where people like feel kind of pressured to like even chuckle at
it.
Exactly. But also, that's just humans interacting. And that's like, oh, they made a joke and it did land, but what are they, a comedian?
Who cares? Like, what's expectation here?
You're standing in front of this group
being
of
like,
people.
I'm funny.
I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
And this, what I'm telling you, is a funny joke.
It's a funny joke. I thought about this. I wrote this out.
Yeah.
I planned this. This wasn't even like I showed up off the cuff in time. I waited back there.
I'm number 17.
On me in the back. Like I brought dog treats.
Yeah.
Like it was a whole thing. I'm literally basically going up there wearing a shirt that says, I think I'm funny. And they're all wearing shirts that say, no, you're not.
Yeah.
Like, it is so bad. So I'm up there. Also, this is even, it's hard to even relive it, honestly. It's making me sweat. Not a lot throws me. Yeah. I was thrown. Like, you also factor in when you're writing, like, where you're going to pause for laughs, right?
You could have paused the whole time.
I paused. Like, and the crazy thing is when the laugh doesn't happen to even a certain extent, like, it throws off your whole rhythm.
For sure.
So, because you've got the cadence down and then no laugh happens. And a lot of like secondary, third jokes, punchlines come off.
Hey, Gabers. Today's episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert in language learning for 30 years for a reason. They are so good at helping you learn a language naturally in a way that allows for long-term retention. And it actually works. Trust me, this is coming from someone who attempted to learn a language in high school through the whole textbook old school method. Did not work. Rosetta Stone is different than that, okay? They really focus on allowing you to really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. I also love a feature that they have built in that's called True Accent. It's a speech recognition feature, and it's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's super convenient. You can do the lessons on your desktop or in-app, and it's an amazing value. The lifetime membership has all 25 languages, so you don't have to stop at one. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, I Can Explain podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Hey Gabers, this episode is brought to you by Book of the Month. If you're a longtime Gaber, you know that I am far from a consistent reader, but Book of the Month just might change that. Book of the Month makes the process that I find daunting, finding a new book, fun and special, with new releases at the beginning of every month. I often find deciding on a title overwhelming, but Book of the Month's team curates a list full of exciting options, often from new and upcoming authors. This month, I chose The Return of Ellie Black by Amiko Jean, which I'm really excited to dig into. I love a mystery thriller, and I love a twist. I was debating between this title and Middle Tide by Sarah Crouch. And honestly, it was the first time in years that I was having a battle of the books. So this month, get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com. That's PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com.
Of the laugh, like you're like, right? And then you like go into the next part. But like they're already not feeling the buildup. So you already, you know that the punchline won't land because the like soft joke at the start isn't even making sense or hitting. So you then have the choice as a human being to continue with the rest of the joke.
That you know they didn't.
That you know is not landing and they didn't like. Or somehow just stop it and go to another joke. And then what you just said made absolutely no sense at all. So that's what happened with my first joke. I came out and it was like a four-tiered joke.
Yeah.
So the first part did not land. And I thought, okay, maybe that was a little dicey. The second part did not land. And then I was like, I'm halfway through the joke. Like, They hate this. Yeah. Like they're they silent. You. They hate me.
Yeah.
Even the dogs hate me at this
point. Yeah, they've turned around.
They've literally turned around.
Yeah.
And
they're whimpering.
PETA has been called.
It's a walk-off.
It's a walk-off. I go for the third. Does not land. So then in that moment, I'm so uncomfortable. I just don't even say the punchline because I can't even fucking bring myself to do it because it's so bad.
Oh,
like,
no.
So then I don't even say the punchline. And because subconsciously the fear literally froze it in
for
my
sure.
throat. Like I was like, I can't say this punchline. But then in turn, it made it even worse because then I just awkwardly cut off halfway and went to the next joke. And then nothing that I had just said made any sense
is
whatsoever.
Is there a video of this?
Yeah, there is video.
Amazing.
Okay, if someone gives me a lot of money on Patreon, I will send you this video for the right price. No, that video will never see the light of day. I put it this way. Every other comedy show I've done, I've asked for the video because I like to watch it and like see where I went wrong and where I went right and adjust jokes.
Well, I think you should watch this one a few times, babe.
It's so bad that I'm like, I'll just scrap all of that.
But
like,
maybe
I can't.
Maybe that'll be a good learning moment for you.
Sean, I'm not joking you. It would be bad. Like I'd need to be on watch. I go to the next joke. Okay, I go to the next joke. Doesn't hit again. And I'm like, fuck. Because the only hope that I had in me was
The older
stuff. Maybe
if
I just... No, it hadn't gone to the older stuff yet. The first two jokes were new. I was like, maybe it was just that joke. So just forget the fucking punchline. Get to the next joke. Then that one's not hitting either. Silence. I'm like, just fucking kill me. Like, someone kill me. This is one of those moments in life where it's like, I've probably only been up there for a minute. It feels like I've been up there for 30.
Yeah.
And you've seen me do a lot of stand-up or public speaking. I mean, nothing shakes me. My hands are fucking starting to sweat. I'm shaking. And I know, as an audience member, when you see someone do that, you're like, they feel like they want to walk out because they're like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
Mom's spaghetti.
Mom's fucking spaghetti. Jesus.
See, bombed.
I'm literally trying to get words out of my mouth. I'm so frozen on stage, and a fucking dog runs onto the stage. And I literally look down and go, well, at least there's something to cheer for.
That was funny.
Nope. Not a chuckle. Silence. I thought that would maybe save me and then get me into the rest of the jokes. Nothing.
That dog literally was like, I got this, guys.
I was so frozen, and I've never done this before. I literally said, well, this didn't work and this didn't work. So hold on, let me see what else I got. And I had to look at my phone to ground myself to remember. Like, I couldn't even fucking see. Like, I was shaking with fear. And then I was like, how about I tell this one? Fucking start saying the next joke. And it's one of my jokes that always lands.
Okay.
And it's just I'm getting like a,
This is the most horrific thing I've ever heard.
Horrific. And then imagine this. I flop the whole way through. Bomb, bomb, bomb. Everyone fucking says, tomato, 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 you suck. We hate you. You're not funny. Never come on stage again.
And that was just me.
And then the dog comes up, just punches me in the face. Right fucking hook. Then you have to go back into a back room of all the other comedians and go. They're
watching you.
Because there's a screen in the back room. Everyone watches each other.
I would have burned that place to the ground.
I literally was horrified. I walked back and I just said, fuck. Like, I was just like, I can't even look. I literally vocally said, well, fuck me. And then I just sat down and didn't talk to anyone for the rest of the night. I just watched the rest of the show.
I can't believe you stayed there.
You know what? The only thing worse than sitting back there was walking out past that crowd.
There's got to be a back entrance.
There's not. I was like, I can't even see those people.
I can't look those dogs in the eye.
Those dogs, oh my God, those dogs are writing home to their friends. I just saw the least funny person to ever exist on stage. So it was just rough. And then why
they said,
again,
woof.
Why I said at the beginning that you can't blame the audience is, I will say this, despite all of those things, there were comics that went out there and they are true professionals. They got laughs. Because they know how to deal with crowds like that. And they're funny. Thank you. And they also, it was a learning experience because they know how to call crowds on certain stuff in a funny way. Not in a like, oh, you fucking suck way. But in a way that like brings people back and gets the energy back in the room. And I've never had to do that. So instead I just like clammed up and like did not know how to deal.
I'm so excited to hear these jokes after this.
When you hear them, you're going to die,
I'm
Sean.
Be like,
you're
going to
like actually die.
Well,
so this episode is now just me bombing.
Yeah.
We should maybe save Kinks almost. I've got another thing to talk to you about. We're going to do Kinks next week.
Oh my God.
Kinks is like a full fucking thing. I have another thing to talk to you about.
Is it another story?
No. Why, you didn't like that one?
It just wasn't very funny.
Sean.
This is my thing. I think you deserved this.
Yeah, I do.
And
I think you deserve
this because you are using this anecdote to say why you don't include people in your stand-up. But you do this for everything. And you hate telling people about things that you do because you don't want their feedback, your friends and family.
Uh-huh.
So maybe this was just this finally catching up to you. Like maybe if you had bounced those jokes off your incredibly hot and funny podcast co-host, you wouldn't have bombed as hard, but you did.
I think I'm just going to start paying people to sit in audiences and laugh. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to bankrupt myself. I'm literally going to stack it.
Yeah.
I'm hosting a show and I'm buying everyone tickets. I'm buying everyone tickets.
There's speakers under the chairs, just laugh track. That's a good one. Add that.
Yeah, I'll put that in. Yeah, it was fucking terrible. It was excruciating. I'm not joking you. I hardly slept that night.
I had PTSD. I'm not even making a joke.
Yeah.
I would be crying, like fully adult crying on a stage in front of people. And they might laugh at that.
So bad. I also have to say there's something about the nature of human beings that when people told me they bombed, I'm like, it can't really be that bad. Like, I've been to open mics and stuff and seen people, what I would describe as bomb, where people like aren't laughing really loud. But I'm like, there's people that are give me laughs and like, you know, the whole thing. Those people, they must listen to my podcast where if something's not funny, they don't say shit. I gave them the suggestion, I think. I inned and out them too close to the sun.
They were fully giving you Victorian child bonnet stare energy.
They were. Like, it was a small enough crowd that I was making eye contact. I knew the faces of all the people.
And they were like,
Nothing. Not a cracked little fucking smile. Nothing. And I thought, I've created a fucking monster here. They said, make me laugh, bitch. And it's only going to be authentic. I'm not giving you a sympathy giggle for
I love that.
The life of me. I respect them for it, but I will say there's something very frightening about it.
Yeah. Arousing, though.
You would have just started jerking off. Yeah. That would have saved it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Sean is the biggest phony and cheat.
No, yeah.
Of all time.
True.
And here's why. Some of you that have been around for a while may remember that Sean and I met.
Oh.
At Vancouver's Next Drag Superstar many a moons ago. And it is an event, a yearly series of evenings that we hold near and dear.
A series of unfortunate events, if you will.
Near and dear to our hearts.
Yeah.
As our meeting place, where we fell in love, where we came up with the idea of starting a podcast. Sean came up with the idea of starting a podcast, and I said, well, I'll do one with you. And he said, who are you? Please stop talking to me.
Our first kiss.
The first time Sean fingered me.
All there. All at VNDS.
All at VNDS. Sean had the fucking audacity. Last week was the first week of VNDS.
Yeah.
It's a 5-week thing that I look forward to every year.
So do I. You're making it.
This is why you're a fucking phony. Because when you look forward to things and you are so excited and you hold them as dear as this, to me, VNDS is similar to what I might feel about my wedding day.
Okay.
Or the birth of my child.
Right.
It is our meeting place. It is just on a different... This isn't just an event.
Yeah.
You don't... Do you miss the birth of your child? Do you miss your wedding day? Ask yourself that.
I might.
The way you talk about your exes, you might. Yeah. I said to Sean, I'm so excited. VNDS is happening. He said, I might be able to make it. Did you make it, Sean?
I did not. You know, the thing is, I have a lot of fond memories of VNDS.
Yeah.
However, I also have a lot of fond memories of being employed because I need to pay for my house.
Right.
So I was faced with Sophie's choice of finishing the work that I had to do to remain housed and employed. Or go see my friend and some good and bad drag until 2 a.m. And I had to make the tough choice.
I would like you to know that I was at home in bed by 11. Yep. Yes.
Okay. You're making it seem like I should have expected that.
Well, I'm just saying.
That's a gag.
Sometimes when you're that closed-minded and you make assumptions.
That's true. Like when you assume you're funny.
I went to watch VNDS.
Yes.
And now, if you kept up with the times, you'd know that they split the first week into 2 weeks.
Did they do that last year?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So I was home at a very reasonable hour. Because, Tommy, if you're out there listening, has changed it for us. I like to think it's for us because we
complain a lot.
We complain
and we're vocal.
And we are old. True. And we like to be in bed at a certain hour.
11.
So here we have your best friend ever that you got married to at VNDS, me. True. And you have someone like Tommy who's out here making it work for you, and you don't even fucking show up.
I already put a maybe on this coming week, but now I will change it to I will go.
I'm holding you to that.
Okay.
And I'll also have you know something else.
Finger you there again.
Okay, perfect. I spoke to Tommy while I was there. And he said, let me know if you're coming next week, and I'll make sure to reserve a seat for you. And now, you know what? I think I'm going to make sure that it's a seat. And you can pay your dues.
I might not be there week three. Because at the end of the day, I'm petty.
Okay. Well, I will have you know something.
Was it good? Tell me.
It was amazing.
Okay.
For those of you who are new here, well, you've definitely already clicked off. Because if you're new here, this is not the episode for you.
Well, yeah. You were waiting for kinks and then Brie just bombed.
I just talked about not being funny bombed for half episode. An hour. And then, yeah. Okay. Let me just say this. This is another thing that I was thinking of when we were talking about how I'm not funny.
Yeah.
I need to be more
funny.
Be more open-minded because they released who was performing beforehand, and I went and checked out everyone's like Instagrams and stuff like that. Okay. And for anyone new, this is like a reality TV competition, but like live in Vancouver, so every week they like kick people off.
Yeah.
And a lot of the queens or kings or drag things or performers are fairly new to the scene, or maybe they've moved from out of area, so like I may have not seen them before. So I like to go and do a deep dive on their Instagrams. I think most people, when they're about to go watch a competition, kind of internally ranked in my mind who I thought was going to be the best and who I thought was going home.
Yep.
Some of these people fucking flipped it right on its head. Some of the people that I thought were going to kill it, and then some of the people that I was expecting very little from were absolutely amazing. And
judge book cover.
Oh, you know? You're going to gag at this. There's a twist this season. The twist is that and I want to hear what you would do in this situation.
Okay.
The people that win the first 2 weeks, like the winner of week one and the winner of week two, they get an exemption pass that can be used in one of two ways. Either they can save themselves if they're in the bottom, or they can kick anyone out of the competition.
I'd kick someone out.
Me too.
100%. Because also, like, if I mean, we know this isn't how it works because of Drag Race.
Yeah.
But, like, if I slayed and I was in the top, do I expect myself to be in the bottom? No.
Right.
Am I going to better my chances to win by kicking off anyone?
Yeah.
Or, like, one of the bottom people?
Anyone.
I would choose
I'd
choose the person that won the next week.
Oh, congratulations, but also see yourself out.
Yeah, congratulations. Oh, also fuck yourself.
It's so true. Well, here's my thing. I'm so sick of this like new age, like be nice on reality television thing.
Okay, so you must love Plain Jane.
I do. Mm. Like not as a person,
yeah,
but as a reality TV person.
Right.
Like I'm sick of the reality TV people that are going on and they're like trying to be overly nice.
Yes.
Like reality TV, old school reality TV, people were cutthroat.
True.
They were not thinking about like the morals of like voting someone off. Like old school Big Brother players, they were not being like, oh, I feel bad. They're such a nice person.
Yeah.
So if I am on this competition, I don't care if I'm the worst person there. Immediately, the best person in the competition, chopped. If you get the chance to do that,
I'll kick out one of the judges.
Can you imagine?
Try me.
They're like, how about you?
Yeah.
You've been giving me bad critiques. Get the fuck out of here. I'm a
Kendall. Bye. I'd kick out like an audience member. Loudest audience member. Bye.
Oh, this is tea. This is another thing. Okay. This is actually something we need to talk about.
Okay.
There are so many different types of creatives, right? Like there's so many different types of people.
Yeah.
But in competition settings.
Funny people, unfunny people.
In competition settings, you really see this difference show up. There are like the creatives that are also like more type A and scheduled and stuff like that. And then there are like, everyone knows these types of people. Everyone has a friend like this that's just like super amazing what they do, super artistic, super passionate, but fucking sucks at just like living life? Like, how, like, were you wonder, like, are you okay? Did I just spit on you?
No, or like, I'm just like, fuck.
Oh.
Super talented, but at life, garbage.
No, I'm not taking that back. I'm not even really.
I know
in.
You're not.
Like, those types of people that you wonder, like, how do you get by?
Right.
Like, how do you, like, pay your taxes? Like, how do you, like.
Some people don't, Brie.
That's true. That, you know what? That clears up a lot. Like, how do you make appointments for yourself? Like, how do you get places on time? They don't is the answer.
Because so, they suck at life.
But they're very good at art, which is nice. But I do find this fascinating to see go down. Anyways, there was an example of this because now it's going to seem really mean. Like, I'm specifically saying this person sucks at life. This is my one experience seeing this person, so I'm not saying that they suck at life.
Oh, now you're, yeah.
Sorry. Well, now I feel kind of bad because it feels kind of targeted.
Well, you did target them for the past few minutes, so.
I'm coming in hot because I bombed everyone. No one thinks I'm funny in this right. city, so you can fucking, you can roll with that if you're listening and you think I'm being mean to you. Just say that unfunny bitch is being mean to me.
Bad comedian. That bad, terrible said I comedian. Suck at life. Oh no.
That all the dogs in Vancouver hate. Okay. It's the first week of this competition.
Yes.
To be clear, they have already been there. They are already on site. Okay. Because the competition the first week, if you've seen it before, it starts with like a runway walk of sorts. Yes. Kind of what they end RuPaul with. And so this one was the week of 1,000 Kendalls.
I saw.
Yes. So they all come out. They do their like, I'm dressed like Kendall Jenner. Anyways, they leave the stage. So why I'm bringing that up is they're all already present at this competition.
Okay.
Then there is a break, like 20-minute break or yes. whatever. The person, I don't know if they go out to smoke, if they go out to see friends, if they, who knows what they were doing. I don't know. I did not see that. So that's all assumptions. It's time for them to go on. Conti, amazing host. Have you ever seen Conti host? They come on the stage. They give their spiel. It's time to come on. Welcome to the stage. The logo of their name goes up. The lights go on. The music starts. No one comes on. And I'm thinking, I'm looking around the room. I'm thinking, are they coming from the ceiling? Are they coming from the floors?
Are they in the ducts?
Yeah. Are they like under the giving Tommy D a blowjob under the table? Like, I don't know what's happening. Like, they're going to reveal from somewhere.
Yeah.
No one comes on stage. Conti comes back on. They're not ready. They're late. And they're so late and so not ready that Kendall Jenner then has to go onto the stage and do an impromptu performance to take up time. Then they get on the stage, seemingly still rushed. So at this point, it's been like 7 extra minutes
right.
between them waiting for them, Kendall doing an impromptu performance, Conti coming back, doing more hosting, whatever. And they still come on like frazzled dazzled, like they're confused where they are.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Please explain this to me. Like, how are you that late?
I just have a question. Are there going to be accommodations for time blindness? I just think that if anybody else understands the layers of that.
That is a layered statement. That is a fucking layered statement. The gag of it all for me is that they came out and they were wearing like track pants and a bikini top.
Hot.
And a hat. Very hot.
Was the number good?
Yeah, it was fun. It was great. Does that take a long time to put on? Track pants, a bikini top, and a hat?
Maybe something else happened, Brie.
No, I know something else didn't happen. You know why? Because they didn't tell us that anything else happened. They just said that they were late.
Oh, well.
They also went home. So, anyways, there's that.
Guess they bombed too.
This episode. No, I was going to say it should be called bombing. It should not.
Oh my God.
Be called bombing. It should not.
This Brie episode bombed is what it's
this
called.
This episode is about how much I suck at comedy.
Yeah.
And
you should quit.
I should quit and never show my face in the city again. Besides at BNDS next week,
yes.
where we are meant to be. This was a nice little comfy episode. I feel like I got a lot off my chest. I don't feel supported.
You shouldn't.
But I do feel like there was some release there. Okay. So sorry to everyone listening that we did not get to kinks.
Yeah. We'll get kinky next week, I guess, if Breed lets me. She might have another story about bombing, though.
You know what? At this rate, maybe that's my new thing. I haven't got back on stage since, so I'm a little weary.
The dogs are safe for now.
I will say, wherever you're listening, if you would like to see me bomb in person, get on my text list, because I will be sending out where I'm to go. Fuck us. Okay.
No, don't make this a me.
Oh, fuck. Okay, fuck you. And fuck me.
I'm like, I'm not bombing.
I think that what we should talk about at the end of the day is that anyone who gets on a stage, even the late people and even the people who aren't funny, you need to give them some sort of support because they're doing things that scare people that some people don't do. And I feel like me and the person who was late, we deserve the same amount of love that people in the audience get.
I think the moral of the story is sometimes... and you said it yourself, sometimes there are people in the world that just suck at life and you don't know how they're getting by. And that's that on that.
Well, wherever you're listening, please follow, subscribe. My therapist bills will be skyrocketing. So if you'd like to become a Patreon and see any of these episodes on video, you can click the link in our bio at I Can Explain Podcast. And until next time, we will
see you around the neighborhood.